Oh, this week, Brother Larry. Good to see you, sir. Good to see you. Welcome back. Join us again. We're going to talk a little bit today. We're going to talk about a couple of things. We have some things going on. We're actually taping this show on Father's Day weekend. But as we do here on Christian Men's Issues, we're going to continue to talk about men and the issues that men have, some of the issues men need to address, especially saved men who've given their lives to Christ and through salvation, through the sanctification, and through the power of the Holy Ghost. Some of these issues need to be dealt with. Sometimes there's another way addressed in the church. We think we're doing fine, but we are doing stuff that other people are seeing, especially our wives and our children. Yes. That's, you know, it's not honoring God. Because as Christian men, we are first called to honor God, give glory to God in all that we do and all that we are. Amen?
Amen.
Well, brother, read, start us out with scripture and prayer, and then we'll get right into the conversation.
The scripture I'm going to read today is Micah chapter 6, starting with verse 6 through 9. And it reads this way: "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with a thousands of ram, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? The Lord's voice cries to the city, wisdom shall see your name."
Amen.
Amen. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, how we love and adore you. We appreciate you, Lord God. We thank you now, Lord God, for this opportunity to come and talk about men's issues, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you would be in the midst of us, that you would open up new knowledge and understanding, Lord God, that we might divine from your word how we should conduct ourselves as men. We thank you for this opportunity, and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Also, from people who are watching, we also, a couple of churches I'm going to give recognition to. My home church is Cecilia Hope at the City of Hope International Worship Center. We're located at 9033 Red Branch Road in Columbia, Maryland. You can contact the church. We have the website, or you can go to www.bishopjosephmacargo.org. And you'll see the church, the link there for the church. You see the bishop's ministry, his ministry, and what he's doing. And we encourage you to come and visit. Brother, where's your church located?
Our church is located in Temple Hills, Maryland. It's Spirit of Freedom Christian Ministries with the pastors Wendell Washington.
Amen. And the information, also you can see the information on the at the end of the show. We'll again put on the screen the contact information, addresses, location, service time. You can come and join us. Come see us live. Come see us in worship. Or you can come and sit next to me during the service. How about that? Amen?
Amen.
All right, so today we're going to talk a little bit about this issue today I want to talk about. I'll talk about relationships. We had a little thing about this earlier, but we're going to get into a little bit more in the next couple of minutes here. Talking about relationships. Men, and where do we put our importance in developing relationships? I know as men, we have so many things going on. We're trying to accomplish things. We're trying to gain possessions, you know, because at work, you know, we all have that that innate in us to compete, to achieve.
Yeah.
That's the word I'm looking for. To achieve on our jobs, be successful in our job, you know. But when we do those things, and then also, you know, we want to get things, gather. It's a gathering thing. Yeah. Buying, you know, how many of us, we buy a car, but then how many of us don't need a car?
Exactly.
Or we need more than one car.
Yeah.
So we're running around, and then the kind of car. You know, if I'm making a certain amount of money, I don't need to be driving no $80,000 car.
You want a status symbol. You want to floss a little bit.
Amen. There you go. to prove I got a job.
There you go.
So I'm spending money on stuff. But now, what am I putting all that time and effort? Because, you know, I know brothers who work, and they do 60 hours, 70 hours just to keep up.
Yeah.
But then if you ask them, you know, how much time are they putting in with their wives, with their children? And that's the thing I think some men need to, evaluate. You need to search that thing out, because you have to see what are your true goals. You know, I use the example sometimes when we, especially young men, I'm going to talk to younger men who's in late 20s, early 30s, because those are high earning, high achievement, Yeah. We're trying to make a name for ourselves in whatever occupation is.
Right.
You know, we're trying to, you know, we're trying to be somebody in there. And that's so, and those also, if you have children in that group, are you neglecting your children? Mm-hmm. Are you not neglecting time with our sons and daughters? Are we not spending enough time with our wife that, you know, she may or may not understand? But if, you know, because our women, our wives will back us and say, you know, it's all okay. But then after 10 years pass and you forget a couple of significant dates, you know, because you had to work or you made a commitment to go to work or you made a commitment to go whatever, you know, then that stuff comes at the other end of your relationship. It comes out.
Exactly.
So tell me what you think, bro. I mean, where are we at? How can we help a brother realize where he's at and how can he change it?
When I was young, I realized that my definition of myself was tied up in my things and what I accomplished. You know, when you're young, you have your set of goals that you're trying to accomplish.
Right, right.
You know, I want to get my career together. I want to get my house. I want to get my car. I want to have all of these things to show that I'm a successful person as far as society is concerned.
Yes.
And then, you know, as I'm young, I'm striving for those goals. So my time is spent in school trying to get my education. My time is spent building my career. So I'm working. I'm paying my dues on my job. My time is spent trying to get acquire things. I'm trying to acquire the house, you know.
Yes,
I'm trying
yes.
to acquire the clothes. I'm trying to acquire the car. I'm trying to get all of these status symbols to show that I've arrived and become the man that I was supposed to be. But then as I get older, and after you acquire all those things, you realize it's not in the acquisition of things, but it's in the relationships that you deal with.
Right.
And unfortunately, as we try to acquire things, as we try to build our careers and so forth, we neglect some of the relationships that go on in our life.
Mm-hmm.
If we have kids at that time, you know, we're so busy either going to school, going to work, or trying to get everything that we need that we forget about our children sometimes, and we don't spend the quality time that we should with our children and our wives.
Okay, right.
You know, but as you get older, you realize, and certain things happen in your life, you know, as you get older, certain things will happen in your life to make you realize, you know, you experience some losses.
Yes.
You know, you experience some health challenges.
Mm-hmm.
You experience some things, and you realize that things are just that, things.
Yes.
But relationships are the thing that keep you sound.
Mm-hmm.
I use the statement, when I was young, I was trying to do. But we have to realize we're not human doings. We're human beings.
Amen. Amen.
And it's about being who we are and not in the acquisition of things.
Amen. Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, like you said, we get caught up in the pursuit.
Yes.
We get caught up in the rat race of trying to accomplish, trying to make a mark for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes our families suffer. Now, what I'm seeing is, you know, now that's the culture. We understand that. That's the culture.
Yes.
You know, looking out for myself, I'm trying to get, I'm trying to do. But now as men of God, I mean, once we come into, well, let me ask this question. Is the church doing the same thing to men? When they come into church, everybody wants to, you know, they want to achieve, they want to, you know, they want to get that Christian achievement, I'll call it. That's my word I'll make up. That Christian achievement. I want to get on the deacon board. I want to be a deacon. I'm going to go an elder. I'm going to do in the ministry. But then sometimes that stuff can wear on our households too.
Exactly, it can. We, even though the church doesn't always teach it, okay, that the relationship is the most important, there's a hierarchy that should be set up where it's God, family, ministry.
Okay, okay. Right, okay.
And many times we get the second two mixed up because we want to put so much time into ministry that we forget about our families.
Yes.
You know, and we, our families suffer because we're in church all day on Sunday. You know? Our families suffer because we got men's meeting on Monday. We got Bible study on Wednesday. We got meeting on Friday and Saturday. We're trying to cut the grass and get everything else done, you know.
Right.
And still turn around and repeat the cycle all over again, that we forget about spending that quality time with our family.
Yes.
And many times, you know, we find this more with women than with men, that women will go to church and their husbands will end up hating the church because they spend so much time at the church.
Ooh, well,
okay. But it can happen with men as well.
Yes, it can. It can.
You know, I'm reminded of a story in the scripture in 2 Kings where the woman's husband had died, and he was one of the sons of the prophet.
Yes.
And she went to the prophet Elisha. She said, your servant, my husband, is dead.
Mm.
Now, the wording that she used is significant because she didn't say, my husband, your servant.
Right.
She said, your servant, my husband, which meant that he was more of a servant to the prophet than she was a husband to her.
All right, brother, that's deep. If we wasn't on TV, if we was preaching that, I'd say, let that sink in.
Yeah.
But we're on TV, we're going to keep moving. But we need to understand that. That's very good. Yeah. You know, we have to understand that God's going to judge us on our whole life.
Yes.
And how we handle it and how we balance it. And there's no greater ministry or there's no greater thing a man has than his wife and his children.
Exactly.
Because those are the most important things. Because the church, I mean, I'm not good. Let me interject this because we have folk who listen. God can have a calling in your life to serve, to be a pastor, to be an elder, to serve within the body.
Uh-huh.
But God also gives us wisdom and discernment to be able to balance it out because we can't neglect our homes for this.
Exactly.
You know, we all know, I'm using another Christianese word, but we all know about PK kids.
Yes.
And there's a reason, because their fathers are so worried about the congregation.
Yes.
And, you know, they missed some things. And I'm not going to say all pastors' kids, but, you know, that's a Christian word we say.
Yeah.
Because pastor kids have it hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Because really the congregation does it to them.
Mm-hmm.
The congregation puts them on a pedestal and don't even let them grow up.
It's the congregation, and it's also even the parents, okay? I was preaching at 15. So my kids grew up being PKs, you know.
Okay.
And even in seeing that, they saw the ugliness of church.
Right.
Let me explain what I mean.
All right.
I was spending so much time at church and dealing with things of the church, I became a terrorist in my own home.
Mm.
Meaning that I was so worried, I was so tied up in church and doing my ministry and trying to attain my status in church that when I got home, I was angry, I was tired, I was bitter about things that happened in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter would see all this, and she was like, I don't want anything to do with an organization that makes you feel like that.
Okay.
But it wasn't the fact that the organization was doing it. It was because I was so driven to get to a point.
Yes.
Or to do what I was trying to do and the things that I was having to deal with in the church that I was becoming a terrorist in my own home. I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
They would have to peep their head in the room and say, Dad, you all right, before they came in because they didn't want to get their heads bitten off.
Right.
Know?
I understand.
So in church, preacher's kids see the ugliness of everything.
Right.
They see the way their parents get treated. They see the way their parents act. And sometimes we don't always act the way that we should and portray the right image.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
In the secular world, we got the same thing.
Yes.
You know, but we are, as men, as fathers, as husbands, we use the example in the church, but we also see in the secular world, on our vocations, on our job,
mm-hmm.
it's the same thing.
It's the same
thing. If you go into work, and you at work, you're working this, that, and you come home, and letting the air out.
Depressurized.
There you go. You're not depressurized before you get in the house.
Yeah.
You're yelling at the wife, slapping the kids, and kicking the dog.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's the same thing, and that's what I'm saying about the issues of men. We have to learn balance.
There it is.
But I say for the men of God, we have a helper.
We have a helper, but we understand, again, we have to understand that hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that it's God, that it's family, and then it's ministry.
Amen.
Because if you look, before God sent them out to subdue the earth,
mm-hmm.
he said, go forth and multiply.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay, so he said, go forth. He said, take care of family first.
That's right.
Go forth, multiply. And then he said, then you go subdue the earth. Take care of ministry second.
Amen.
Okay, so we have to make sure that we're taking care of family.
Yes.
And then ministry. Most of the times we're taking care of ministry, family comes a distant second.
Right. Well, we delegate that thing.
Yes.
We delegate it to our wives. We delegated to the church because, you know, we recently in the men's group, and one of the brothers shared, you know, that he sent his kids were in Sunday school.
Uh-huh.
They were in youth group, but, you know, we wonder why they don't get it.
Exactly.
Even now, we're not talking about the leadership kids now, just in church. But as parents and as fathers,
mm-hmm.
You know, we in church, okay, we think we've done something. I mean, we've done something, you know, and when our children are in Sunday school, they're in the youth group, they're in church, but they haven't gotten the word. They haven't gotten what it meant, what salvation is, what sin is, what making the right choices are, because we haven't at home.
Exactly.
You know, because I used to do youth ministry. And, you know, you see it,
right,
that at home it's not connecting with what goes on Sunday.
Exactly.
Because I know children, youth, because, you know, youth ministry is like, once you gain within the confidence of the group, the youth will talk about their parents.
Yeah.
They'll give you truth.
Yeah.
You know, they'll give you truth because, like you said, your daughter, she sees the other side of church.
Right, right.
And given the opportunity, she'll say, yeah, well, my dad, I mean, you know, he's the elder, but, man, I can't even talk to the brother.
Yeah, you know.
I can't. He don't take me nowhere. He don't come to my stuff. He don't make time. But again, I want to share it because it's the same thing as us at work.
Right.
I just don't want to come down on the ministers and the pastors. It's us. It's also men on your job. How much time you spend at work, how much time you spend at home,
right,
nurturing your family.
Exactly. Your relationships, your family relationships, your friends, all of those are the things that give you a good foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Your beliefs give you a foundation.
Yes.
But your family also gives you a foundation. When I go home, that's my place of peace.
Yes.
You know, and if I don't have good relationships with my people at home,
exactly,
I ain't getting much peace.
That's right. You're not. Yes.
It's that simple. You know?
And those are the pressures that come down on the man.
Exactly.
And that pushes you to prayer.
It pushes you to prayer, yes.
It pushes you to prayer. It pushes you, you know. Then you're dealing with doubt. You're dealing with your inconsistencies. You're dealing with, oh, God, I messed up again. And then, you know, this is how the enemy gets the brothers,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
You've been in the church and been outside. This is how happy hour was invented. Okay? Happy hour was invented because folk ain't want to go home right after work.
Yeah, right.
So they go get a couple beers, and, you know, nowadays, because your happy day used to be, I mean, happy hour used to be straight liquor. Now they throw in some wings and something. They try and feed you, but, you know, that's where this stuff comes. They use these to decompress.
Yes.
Before they go home. Yeah. Or they're trying to, you know, well, if I stay out at happy hour, by the time I get home, my wife, I had the kids in bed.
Yeah.
The only thing I could do with her is deal with her for a couple minutes. And, you know, but this is what I'm saying. We're not taking that time.
But if we take the time to invest, if we take the time to spend, it's not in the quantity of time, but in the quality of time.
Yes.
Okay. I can sit with my daughter for 4 hours and not say a word. And
right.
That doesn't do anything. But if you can spend an hour with her, and you're talking, and, mm-hmm, and you're dealing with issues, and you're just being there as a father, then it's a great thing. You know, I realized as I got older, the only thing my daughter wanted me to be was her father.
Amen.
She wasn't worried about how much money I made.
Yes, that's
she
right.
She wasn't worried about the car I drove. She wasn't worried about the clothes that I wear. She just was worried about me being her father.
Amen. That's true. And like I said, with issues all the time we talk, some of the solutions. What we need to do, take our kids, spend some time with them.
Yes.
Not go to the movies.
Yes.
Because I know, you know, Superman, Iron Man, and Avengers 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
But spend some time with our daughters, you know. You know, spend a day with your daughter.
Yeah.
Spend a day with your son.
Yes.
Spend a day just with them, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And build those relationships. I mean, because that, my advice, now that I have grown kids and grandkids, do those things that cultivate a nurturing where you're dealing with your kids and you're dealing with them where they are. You're not always chastising. You're not always correcting.
Right.
You're trying to see, because you have to really help them as a father is to know where they at, where they are.
Right.
Because if you tell them something they already know, then they're going to stop listening to you. But now if you see where they're at and where you can help, that's part of it. That's part of knowing who your children are.
Exactly.
That's a part of fathering, because you have to give them what they need. Don't give them what you think they need, because you haven't spent time to see where they're at.
Right.
You know, and those are some of the things, some of the changes that I would advise any father who has kids, spend some time with them out where you're not. You can't always be the disciplinarian, chastising, and criticizing.
Right.
I've learned that. I learned that the hard way, and by the grace of God, I've had relationships with my children. But if you have 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 8-year-olds, you have to balance it out, because really, they're misbehaving. The things they're doing is because of who?
It's because of us.
Amen. We agree.
It's because of us.
It's because of us, and we have to change the environment.
Yeah.
We have to be the men and the fathers in their lives to try and change that environment, but we have to spend time with them to know what they're going through.
And the same is true of the women in our lives, whether it be our wives or babies, mothers, or whatever you want to call them.
Well, babies, mothers. I'll let that one go for right now.
Whatever you want. Amen.
Mother,
we have to spend time with our wives. I'm going to use wives because wives is the biblical correct term.
Yes.
Okay. So we have to spend time with our wives, because even before you were daddy, you were husband.
Yes. Okay. That's it. That's God's plan.
Yeah. So, you got to make sure that you're setting that time aside for your wife as well.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a date night, you know?
Yeah.
You got to have some time to make sure that you're spending that quality time with your wife, that quality time with your children, that quality time with God.
Yes,
sir. And that's
sir.
Where the balance comes
That's in. Where the balance will come. God will help you. Yeah. But let me interject something on date night for my brothers. You don't have to spend money for date night.
No. Uh-huh.
Date night can be, if you have young children, I'm trying to help you here, suggestions. We have solutions here. If you have young children, just find someone that you trust to watch your children for a couple hours, and you and your wife just go somewhere.
Right.
You can go anywhere. Go get some ice cream. Go get some Chinese food, some chicken wings, sit outside, something. It don't have to be you dating and you're going in this fabulous whatever. Want to get a hotel room and all that.
No.
You just have to come. But then again, when you do that, let's talk about it. How you wipe. Check her oil. See where she's at.
Exactly.
See what's going on with her. Yeah. See her concerns. You know, spend some time. And then I'll go again. And then share your stuff with her.
Exactly.
She's your mate. She's your helpmate.
Yeah.
Okay, so that I want to share that with the brothers, because that, you know, going out on a date, you know, we go sitting there, like I said again, going to see the movies, that's fine, you know. If we all agree we're going to see the movie, mm-hmm. I'm cool. But then that's not spending, again, quality time with your wife.
Quality time.
You spend 2 hours sitting in the dark.
Yeah.
Eating some food that costs too much.
You spend 2 hours sitting in the dark, and then you go eat. You go sit at a dinner table across from each other, and you don't say anything.
And you don't talk, right.
Don't talk about anything. And again, one of the things that we talked about when we were in the men's ministry is the substance of the time.
Yes.
Okay, the time has to have substance for it to be quality.
Yes,
okay?
It does.
It's not just quantity. It's what you do with the time that you have. If you take that time to talk about what's going on in your marriage.
Yes.
You know, and one of the most important things men can do as husbands is to take care of their wives emotionally. You take care of your wife emotionally, she'll take care of you every other way.
That's right. That's right. And then that's where you need God, because, all right, I'm getting in trouble again.
Yeah.
But women are emotional. They're more emotional than us. Yeah. And as a husband, again, the Bible says, love our wives as Christ loved the church.
Uh-huh.
Christ deals with our crazy stuff.
Yes.
So God, get within you, you have the power to deal with your wife. You know, I talked to a brother. Brother been married like 35, almost 40 years. And he said his wife is the way he is because that's the way he Vader.
Yeah.
That's how he shaped the Moses. Mm-hmm. So after 35 years, I'm not mad at things she do.
Exactly.
Because that's how she is. And I made her that. I in her life for 35 years, and this is the woman she is.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Because God used me, and this is how we work, and how she works, and how she thinks, and how she functions. And I'm proud of her, and I love her, because that's who she is.
Yeah.
But, again, it goes back to we had to put the time in.
You got to put the time in, man. And the reward or the glory for
yes.
man.
Yes.
It's not the car that he drives. It's
That's
not
right.
the house that he has. It's not the money that he makes. It's mm-hmm. not the suit that he wears.
That's right.
But it's when you look at my family.
Yes, sir.
You see my wife and she's glowing.
Amen.
And she's gorgeous. And she looks like she's the best thing since sliced bread.
Mm.
You look at my kids and they're happy.
They're happy.
You know, and they're smiling. When you see that glow on their faces.
Yes.
That shows you that I'm being a good father.
Amen.
And a good husband.
Not because they got PlayStation 2,
no.
Nintendo, and what's the new one? PS3?
PS3
destroyed a house. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Don't come after me, but I'm just saying. Because Okay, you know what? Evaluate your home.
Yes.
If you come home and your child is on the game all the time, I mean all the time. Uh-huh. Hey, did you do your homework? Yeah, I did my homework. Because they did their homework, so they didn't get on the PS3.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, again, let's spend some time. Let's talk to them, see where they at. Yeah. Because, all right, I'm not going to act like I don't know, but 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds, you know, they take some energy. That's why you got to stay in shape when you got young kids. Yeah. You can't, you know. Is it just like back in our day?
Yeah.
Plopping us in front of TV. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to turn the TV off.
Exactly.
I mean, the PlayStation's cool, but let's cut it off sometime.
Yeah.
And let's just, you know, just get it going. Even our little ones.
Yeah.
You know, we got Nick. I won't go with it because I don't like Nickelodeon. Nick too.
Nick Jr.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, they still plop kids in front of Nick Jr. all day, and that's good. I mean, they can learn some stuff now. Just like for our generation, Sesame Street.
Uh-huh.
I spoke Spanish on Sesame Street. I'm good. Como se llama? I got it. But there's a balance.
Uno, dos, tres.
There you go. Uno, dos, tres, and I'm good. I'm Spanish. But we have to, again, spend that time, spend the quality time, and engage our families.
Yeah.
Build them up. You know, to be able to be the men and have families that God that will glorify God, because our purpose here on earth is to glorify God in all we do, in all areas of our lives.
Yes.
And our family is the first thing God's going to check.
We have to make sure we're taking care of family.
Yes.
We have to make sure that we're presenting that, again, that hierarchy. I can't.
That's right. Mention that. Say it again.
It's God, family, ministry.
Amen. This issue of Christian Men's Talk. I'd like to welcome you back this week. Pastor Maurice Cornwell's back.
Good to see you again, D.
Amen. Glad you can make it back. He's, you know, he's a very, very busy pastor out there saving souls, outreaching to the community in Glen Burnie, Pasadena. But I've got on his schedule, so now he's available and he's back this week.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, Pastor, start us over the scripture and prayer, and then we're going to get right into the conversation. But today we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to talk about one of those things that haunt all men. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, men in the church.
Mm-hmm.
The unbelievers, the Holy Ghost-filled, saved believers, the redeemed of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's lust.
That's right.
But we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about lust, because as soon as we talk about lust, we think sexual. We're going to touch on that.
That's right.
But we're going to touch on the other stuff you're lust after.
Mm-hmm.
Like your iPads, like your Galaxy phones, the newest Apple phone, Windows 7, Windows 8. Oh, I'm sorry. But anyway. We're going to talk about lust in a broader sense. Amen?
Amen.
So give us a scripture, and then open us with prayer, and then we're going to move on to get right into the conversation.
Amen. We're going to go to James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. It reads like this. Let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and is enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Father God, we thank you for right now, for allowing us to come together and talk about this issue that Christian men definitely have to deal with, Father God. We have to accept the fact that whether or not we have been saved for one day, or 100 years, we have to always be considerate of the flesh, that the flesh is ever prevalent and always available to go back and bring forth some things and bring forth new things. Let us be able to discern how to avoid those things that take us away from centering on you and centering on those things that give our flesh pleasure, whether it's something to make us feel like we're a big man on campus, or whether it's something to make us feel like we're a big man among the women. Whatever it takes, Father God, you let us see the truth and let us know how to succumb to the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like we said, we're starting off, we're going to talk about lust.
Mm-hmm.
But let's do this, because we know words have power.
There's power in words. That's exactly right.
So let's define what we're talking about to begin with. I have a definition here I'm going to read. It reads, an overwhelming desire or craving.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible speaks of it in the beginning, in Exodus chapter 20. Do not commit adultery. Do not covet your neighbor's house. Do not covet your neighbor's wife, male, female servant, ox, donkey, or anything else that your neighbor owns.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to Matthew 5:28. And Jesus said, but I say unto you,
who even looks at a woman with lust in his eye has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Mm-hmm. And then I want to jump down to this is my favorite one that talks about it. It speaks of it right away because it calls it out for the believer in Scripture. It's 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 15. Mm-hmm. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away. Mm-hmm. But whomsoever does the will of God lives forever. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the word. And we know as men of faith, as believers, the word guides our thoughts, it guides our lives, it guides our choices.
Yes.
It guides our character.
Exactly.
So when we're talking about lust, you know, we have to really focus on it, okay? Because let me digress a minute. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're gonna hit sexual right away because sexual is easy. You know, we have that, you know, if we look around, I'm gonna stay right in the state of Maryland.
Go for it.
There's so many things that with lust has affected churches, church leaders, mm-hmm. and things have happened. And we all know, as soon as something happened in the church,
right,
it rolls. It moves faster than the gospel.
It does.
It moves faster than the message of salvation.
Exactly.
That man was coming to Christ, or you know, for eternal forgiveness of sin.
Exactly.
But when something happens in the church, that moves a lot quicker than the good news.
Mm-hmm.
So we know. So we here in Baltimore, we're in this Maryland area, and we can name them.
Exactly.
We can name the stuff.
That's right.
That went wrong. And its root is in lust.
Exactly.
That's sexual lust.
It's because that's what people are drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
The flesh is drawn to that. It's more enticing. It's more appetizing. So because that pops up, ooh, the flesh is, even folks who are not a part of the church are drawn towards seeing that because it makes them feel justified.
Yeah, but then on the other hand now, I'm going to say also, because I don't want to stand up for the gospel, this man of God that's living right.
Mm-hmm.
They're not cheating on their wives.
Right.
They're not sleeping with the choir members. Mm-hmm. They're not sleeping with the women and the single women in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have that reputation.
Exactly.
They have a godly character. Mm-hmm. And they're living with what God's word says. Mm-hmm. And those are the brothers we need to get on the front page sometimes. But
I agree 100%.
You know, we don't want to talk about them. They're not going to make 11 news.
No.
Because, you know.
It's not sensational.
It's not sensational enough to live right and be a good man, love your wife, and be faithful to her all your whole life.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
But I do believe that there are good men of God in the communities, and they're doing good things.
No doubt.
But we still need to talk about this because, again, I say, these are issues that are in men's hearts, even if they're not in church leadership.
Exactly.
Just a brother that comes and gives his life to Christ, this is something he's dealing with.
Exactly.
Because like, you know, I shared before, I came to the church, I was already 36 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And 36 years old, I done, you know.
Yeah,
I read it. I bet. Right. See, we had the internet.
Right.
We had to actually walk down to the store, get it off the shelf, right, and go pay for it.
That's,
you know,
right,
what I'm saying?
That's right.
We could do it in the secrecy of our house,
right,
even when our wife is in the next room.
Right.
For you brothers out there, I know who you are.
Hello.
We see your sin. But anyway, you know, so it's been there. The strip clubs. It used to be a strip club.
Right.
It was never a gentleman's club when I went. I'm just saying.
Understood.
I'm not going to give out my thing, but I ain't going to give it, you know. But when I went, it was a strip club.
Right.
It wasn't a gentleman's club.
No.
It wasn't all these nice names they have for it now.
Right.
We have to understand, because like I said, we have to identify sin.
Exactly.
For what sin is.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us who came out of it, we needed to say it. Because, you know, hey, I've been there, done that. You know, I got singles dollar bills that I'm on the way at today. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly.
But now, let's go ahead, brother.
But see, the thing is also the fact that the reason why, honestly, let's be straight up.
Yes.
The reason why most times men have a hard time dealing with anything to deal with lust,
mm-hmm.
you know, be it gambling, be it
Amen.
Having the biggest car than anyone else, whether it is that little fine little filly that's walking by, it's because we don't address this issue in the church. It's a taboo issue. And we want to pretend that we got it all cranked up. And I said this on Sunday. I said, stop acting like you got it and get it. Because if you act like you got it and you don't get it, you get got. So the best thing to do is act. Don't act like you get it. You got
That's
it,
right.
but get it. Then, and like I said, I make this testimony. I've been married now for 12 years to my wife.
Right.
I've never, ever cheated on my wife.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying it because
In thought and...
I'm not saying it because I'm so good.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying it to you because anytime something comes up to that could possibly take me out,
yes,
I don't act like it doesn't exist. I recognize, wow, that could be something that can make me fall. And I walk away. I get away from it. You know,
I don't go to lunch.
Now, why am I saying that? Because there are some other one of my brother pastors who can't make that proclamation. Not because I'm any better than they are.
Yes, yes.
I'm just better off than they are.
Amen.
Because when I saw it looming on the horizon, I knew better to continue to go in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, brother, God will keep me. Okay, go ahead. And then when he fell, amen.
Well, it ain't God failing. It's us failing.
Exactly.
Because we're walking in something. We don't want to recognize our weaknesses and deal with them.
Exactly.
Because remember, the whole basis of the gospel, it's confessing your sin.
Exactly.
Confessing that you are a sinner, and you accept what Christ has done to save you. Mm-hmm. And then now, in our minds, we need to renew our minds. The Bible speaks of having a renewed mind. Mm-hmm. So when we're dealing with this lust, we're dealing with internet porn, we're dealing with the strip club issue, you know, this is something we need to, in the resources in the inside, in our hearts, let the Holy Spirit get within us and purge us of these things.
Exactly.
It's a process. It's a maturity and a growth process. Because if you, like I say, if you've been doing it for years and it's all okay, you know, because we got brothers now, they'll tell their wife, I'm going to strip club, I'll be back.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And their wife, you know, she's cool. All right, I'll see you when you get back.
As long as you're not cheating on me, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a women's issue show. Your man tell you he's going to strip club and you ain't got a problem.
Yeah, that's not cool.
I'm just saying. Maybe you try to make him happy, make him feel good, and make you the illusion that it's okay for him to go to strip club and he ain't going to cheat on you.
Right.
Sisters.
But we had open the scripture. The scripture said that what happened when that sin grows up. See, that sin, when that little seed is planted, and I'll use this real quick. You remember back when we were in elementary school?
Yeah.
And we had a little cup that we had, and you
put your first science project.
And you put it in the window. Remember that one? When you put it in the window, and when you watered it, and you looked, and you, ooh, and nothing came up right away.
Yes.
You kept going back every day looking for it. After a while, you stopped looking because you figured, well, that's just like sin. Sometimes you plant a seed, you look around, oop, hope nobody see this thing. It don't beam up, it don't blossom right away.
Right.
But what happens with that seed is that once it's planted, it begins to die. And when it dies, it germinates. And what happens underground in the invisible, things happen before it's visible. The roots begin to go out, the tentacles go out, and they reach for the nutrients and the stuff that's around it.
Right.
Down inside the dirt, that seed is gathering from its environment, and it's becoming strengthened. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe me, if you take a little plant food seed and put it down in that cup, those tentacles grow toward that plant. It grows to where it gets its strength from.
Right.
It's the same thing with sin.
Yes.
What sin does on the inside, before it shows its ugly head, it's going to grow on the inside. It's going to tap into everything in the environment to make it stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Once it becomes strong, one time it pops up and you see that seed pop up, it's already down in you. And the thing about what most of us don't realize, Brother Deacon, is the fact that men, we do the same thing. We don't realize that that little seed that we allow to get planted,
yes,
some seeds take a month to bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Some seed takes 9 months to bloom.
Amen.
Some seeds take 30 years to bloom.
Amen.
But it will show up. And when it shows up, you're going to find that thing that you say, and guess what? That little, you ever notice that little cup? Sometime when you stop looking, what happened? Somebody else is looking. Oh, Thomas, look what you got growing. They see what's going on about the cup before you see it.
They see it before you see it because
you stop looking for it.
Amen.
And what happens when it boom, and the thing about it, once it begins to grow, it grows.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you stop looking at it don't mean if you say, that's not mine, it's still going to, however it grows, it's going to be based upon, it's going to be a reflection of you.
And then also we need to understand too, something I've learned also, that, you know, man, when it comes to pornography, you start bringing this stuff into the bedroom.
So now you're trying to get your wife, you watched the video.
You got your wife trying to, you know, and then when it ain't doing like you seen it in the movie, we bring contention. But
right.
It all goes back to lust.
You're right.
It goes back to the lust
of
watching this stuff, seeing this stuff, sneaking around with it.
Exactly.
And that's planting seeds in our character, and it's weakening our character.
Mm-hmm.
Now we gave sexual lust a couple minutes, but there's some other stuff that we need to talk about men and lust.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We talked so in the beginning. You know, cars.
Mm-hmm.
Again, let's define what we're talking about again. It's focus on pleasing oneself.
Amen.
It often leads to unwholesome actions to fulfill one's desires with no regard for the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Buying a car you can't afford.
Exactly.
Buying, spending up your money, getting credit cards so you can keep buying
exactly
the clothes to keep up with whoever you're trying to chase, the
That's
Joneses,
right.
the Smiths,
mm-hmm.
the whoever, they, whatever their name is.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to keep up with them. Exactly. So you got 5 or 6 credit cards with $10,000 a piece, and you make $40,000 a year. Ooh. Let's do the math.
That's right.
Let's take one moment and do the math.
Yeah, that's deep.
That's lust.
That's very much lust.
Okay, we buying it. We out here chasing cars. We chasing material possessions.
Mm-hmm.
We're running around. We got, because these phones now, you get a plan, a phone, a $200 plan, $200 right. phone. Deep. Now, let's think about this a moment. Back in the day of rotary phones,
right.
No one was spending $200 for a phone line in their house.
This is
why now in this culture, that in this technology, we're spending $200 just for the phone and a monthly bill. I'm just saying.
That's another $200.
I'm just saying, let's do the math again. And we're making $25,000 a year.
Exactly.
But we got the phone, and we got GPS, we got a hotspot, we got, and why? Because the media, the commercials,
yes.
The cultures, they hype it, that we need to have it. And we need to have it.
It makes you feel good. And here's what, in fact, I just heard a brother preach just a few minutes ago, and you talked about a man being out of position.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that when he said it, because when a man is out of position, when it happens, the rest of your family is going to follow suit. The rest of your wife is going to follow suit.
Yes.
Your children are going to follow suit.
Yes.
If the children and everybody in your family feels that the most important thing is having the latest and greatest, that's what they're going to go for. And when a man, here's the thing, gentlemen, you have to lock this in. We're talking to saved men. And men who are in church, you might not be saved yet, but you're in church. Let's just be quite blunt. As the king goes, the rest of the house goes.
Amen.
If you're sitting there saying you want to be the king, a king is not the boss. A king does not boss his kingdom. A king is chosen from among his people. And the people choose to follow a king. See, a boss you have to follow. Mm-hmm. A king you choose to follow.
That's right.
A king, the reason why he's the king, because he looks out for his kingdom. He makes sure that his kingdom is well prepared for. Okay, a queen cannot do the job of a king.
Okay.
Period. Case closed. No further discussion.
But wait a minute. When we say queen, we do mean female.
Exactly.
Wife.
Right. That's exactly right.
Let's make that clear.
She cannot do the job of a king. When the king is out of position, you cause that queen to do something that she should not be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. And again, I'm giving credit to my brother. He just preached that when he's in there. I steal a little bit from him. The thing he's saying is really so absolutely true. It's so sad when a woman ends up saying, well, I'm going to be both father and mother. And I remember my mom said it to me. I said, no, you're not. You're the best mom any man could possibly have. But you can never be father and mother because you don't know what it's like when my testicles hurt. You don't know what it's like when I'm going through things and my masculinity. You can't help me.
Mm-hmm.
And first she said, well, I can understand. So let me ask you this. If I had a daughter and she's going through her cramps and period and stuff like that, can I help her? Oh, no. Well, what makes you think that a woman is any better than a man?
I like that. Slow down. You told your mother that.
I told my mother that.
Wait a minute.
My mom just
How
like
old
that.
Was you, man?
I was about 20.
Okay, that's good, because you was out the house and stuff.
You know what?
Okay.
So you cannot... That's amen, that's right.
Amen.
That's exactly right. But the thing about it is the fact that that's not taken away from a woman. That's allowing us to take our rightful places.
Sir.
When a man, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as what? Common to man. It's nothing that's new. Then it goes on and says, but God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are what? Able. But with that temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So yes, you might be tempted to go for the latest and greatest. You know, a guy that I was counseling at, a while ago, decent salary. He got promoted and he said he needed to have a bigger vehicle. So God blessed him with a bigger vehicle. Okay? He was able to drive his whole family around and everything. He had to drive from D.C. area way up to the Pennsylvania line to go to work every day of the week and come back.
Right.
So he was able to get on the highway and had to cut out valves and everything. So 8 valves dropped down to 4. That's all great. But then he got a job in the city, okay, and real close to it. And all of a sudden his kids were moving out and kids grew up, started having their own vehicles. He didn't have a need for that expensive vehicle anymore. And on top of that, he lost his well-paid job. So his job cut almost in half.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to the brother, won't you give up that vehicle? Oh, no, God gave it to me. But see, what he wanted to do was keep the vehicle because everybody had seen him rocking his vehicle, so he wanted his lust.
Oh, wait a minute, man. You can't go from a sedan back to a Hoochie vehicle. You can't go backwards.
I did it.
People watching.
I sure did. I got rid of my Jeep Grand Cherokee. I got rid of my Nissan Maxima. I dropped down to a little Hyundai when I had to do so. Okay. But this cat, he kept on doing what he was doing. And I said, man, if you don't, won't you give it up? He says, his flesh is like, but no, man, God gave it. God gave it. I said, well, maybe God did, but God gave you things for a season. when that season is gone, you hold on to that past blessing, you never get your next blessing. Well, he held on to it so much, not only did he lose, losing the vehicle, he lost his home, and sad to say, he lost his family. Because that lust, it gave way that if he would have paused and realized that he would have stopped being so lusting after this vehicle, so everybody can see him driving around this big, great Sequoia, this big, extended long version of it. He didn't even get a regular version. He had a special order, extra long version of the biggest truck out there.
But wait a minute, that was a problem anyway. Goes, how many kids can you really fit in that?
My brother.
I mean, you know, okay. But yeah, but that I understand that's the point. That's an overwhelming passion, desire to set up a false masquerade through possessions and things. Okay? Because now, but also we want to talk about, too, we talk about passion desires. Because God gives us. God created the human heart with a capacity for passion and desire.
Oh, yes.
But when we let those passions and those desires get out of control, this is all about boundaries, controlling what we're doing.
That's right.
And is it glorifying and pleasing to God, the things that we're doing?
That's
and what we're chasing after. You know, we say, we touched on a lot of material things, but this is, again, this is where, if it's in one area of life, it's going to show up in another.
No doubt about it. It
moves. If you have a sexual lust problem,
there's
other problems in your life that where this lust and desire to do things is going to show up in your life.
That's exactly right.
But we have to be able to come and deal with it. Because we know, as we do on this show all the time, the solution to some of this stuff.
Exactly.
Because we have men today that deal with this stuff all the time.
They're dealing with this.
This is their unknown, their covered up struggle, their covered up sin. That they don't want to deal with. And like you said, it's not necessarily brought out in, again, this is why we need men's ministry in the church.
Exactly.
Because if I bring together 25 brothers,
yes.
I know I'm going to get two brothers in there with some lust problems.
Oh, no doubt about it.
I'm going to get some brothers in there with financial problems, living beyond their means.
Oh, yes.
Trying to chase the next greatest and best thing. You know, trying to do, and unfortunately, I'm going to throw this out there too. Brothers out there working two and three jobs.
Right.
Ask yourself, why?
Right.
Are you really working all these jobs? And, you know, why are you working 80 hours a week?
That's good, cool.
Because let me talk about this in another show. Your kids don't care how much you make. But your kids will realize that you're not around because you go home, you eat, sleep, an hour, whatever, and you back out the door.
And again,
you're on the weekends. The kids are home. You ain't there.
Exactly.
You coming in 6 p.m. in the morning. You gone before they get up.
That's
and
right.
You back around 6, and
that's
it's right. In the middle of the summer. And all these things that we do and think we're doing, I encourage you, brothers, slow down. Look around you. What do you really need?
Exactly.
Because it goes back to getting out of the rat race.
Exactly.
And know where your priorities lie.
But, listen, I'm going to tell you quite bluntly. I had a conversation with a guy also. We feel that we must have, I'll give you an example, my next, well.
Don't get canceled, so you got to protect
people. Well, that's a guy that I know.
You got to protect people, man.
He actually,
I had to edit that out.
Yeah, that part out. Well, this guy that I know, what he did, he bought his child the latest Nintendo.
Right.
Then the latest Sega, then the latest, you name them. He saw every game he can get, he got it because his child wanted it. Of course, he worked, again, two jobs, okay? His son got the latest, greatest shoes. His daughter's got the latest, greatest. And here's the thing. He's doing, just, like you said, two jobs, and a third part-time job every so often. He was gone early, left, and his children begin to think that's the most important thing. Now, here's the bad part. Now, his son is now 17, about to graduate from high school, and guess what he says? Now, I don't want to go to college. Why? I'm going to get a job. I know the guy's going to hire me where I can make $10 an hour. That's good money. And I'm sitting looking at a guy like, how's $10 an hour good money? When I was a young man, $10 an hour was good money. Now minimum wage is $7 and some change. So $10 is, what, $3 above minimum wage? How is that possibly good money? But because his father showed him that was the most important thing to him. He didn't go to church on Sundays because he was working. So when he showed his son and his wife and his children that the most important thing is making that money, make that money. Well, we call that a pimp. No, let me stop. But when you're making money becomes more important than your spending time with your family, there's a problem. You know, spending time with your children should be able to say that you love the Lord, that you're spending time praying. You know, my son, not that I'm the greatest dad in the world, I'm still working on that.
Yeah, I know you're good.
So the thing I'm saying is this. My children with me. My children outside now while I'm going to speak in court. I brought to spend some time with me before I came here. I spend time with my children. When I leave, I'm spending time with my children. I take time out for my family. And I make sure that my children don't, that's one game system in my house. And that just got there a couple of years ago. They don't have a computer in their room. Mm-hmm. They don't have a television in their room. They want to watch television, come into the family, we watch it together. Now, me and my wife have television, but if those kids can watch it, we come down with them. They don't have a computer in their room. If they want to see it, they get a laptop, sit right open, we can see them. Not because I have such a bad house. I want to make sure they don't become that house, D. And what I'm trying to say is spend time with your kids. I try to eat dinner with them. I don't care if I'm drop dead tired. I come to the table and eat dinner with them. This way, I can talk to them and find out where they are. And then those things my children see as important, prayer. My little baby girl just turned 3 years old. She knows how to say Our Father who art in heaven. She knows how to pray, say that prayer. And she knows how to say Father God in the name of Jesus and whatever she want to help her. In Jesus' name, amen. She knows these things at three. Not because I'm so good, because I know how wicked I can be. So instead of letting that wickedness come back and be taught to them, I try to teach them what's about holiness. And holiness is not a denomination. So don't think if you go to a church that says holiness that you got it rocked. Holiness is a lifestyle.
Amen. So that I like that example you gave, because that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. As a father and a husband in the home, you're setting the temperature.
You better.
So you know the example you gave. You're right. Once our kid, that's what I think the problem is, because it goes to we work so much to get so much stuff, and mm-hmm. our kids pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, that example you gave of now mm-hmm. his son's a certain age, he thinks he needs to go get a job and not continue to educate himself.
Exactly.
Because that's a mindset, and mm-hmm. they, you know, they get it from the parents, depending exactly. on, you know, again, how much stuff they got. They got everything they want, and dad worked, so right. I need to now get me a job.
Yes.
And then it comes back to me, when you do that, you devalue work and you devalue money. When you give your kid, I mean, there's a way to give your stuff, your kids, the most greatest and latest stuff, but it's a way mm-hmm. That you have to present it to them.
Right.
There's a difference between me just giving you stuff, mm-hmm. or making it a life lesson right. that stuff costs.
Yes.
You know, I have an example of a young man I know. His son is like 9, what was he, 6, 7, 8, now whatever. Because mm-hmm. kids this age, they can play these games. But he doesn't buy a new game. He makes his son trade the game in, get the value of the game he has to give up,
mm-hmm.
and then whatever money he gets from godparents or whatever. He says, okay, well, you got to take your money and buy another game. After right. you trade that game in, mm-hmm. get its trading value,
yes.
then you got to add money to it.
Mm-hmm.
Your money. Not my money.
Hello.
I'm not going in my pocket. Like if you ain't got already. No money from no, you ain't got, you better call your godparents up, grandma, grandpa, the money, and then the day, you know, if you get that money, it got to come out your pocket. You want another game? Fine. Hello. And you also got to have the tax.
Hello.
And I you know, I commend that brother because, you know, he's teaching his son early.
That's right.
That stuff just don't come. That the value of money and the value of having stuff. It's fine exactly to have right. stuff, mm-hmm. but you have to understand the value.
Mm.
And you just can't get it because you want it. Because, you know, I know the brother, and you know, once his son start whining, we shutting it down.
Right.
Now you ain't got nothing.
But whose fault is that?
No, but I'm saying to you,
mm-hmm.
once the child tries to test him,
right.
he knows what the rules are.
Oh, yeah.
But then he goes and says, well, you start crying about it, then now, okay, we're going home. You got no game now.
That's exactly right.
So it's up to us again. We had the pressure, and the thing that we want people to get from this conversation is mm-hmm. fathers, husbands, you set the temperature in your home.
That's right.
It's you.
Mm-hmm.
You are responsible. God's going to hold you responsible.
Yes.
And all you, and now I'm not going to say, because, you know, everybody didn't have a father figure to look at.
I'm saying to you
mm-hmm. is there's a way you can get it.
That's right.
Especially in the church. First of all, brothers in the church
Hello.
And pastors.
That's right.
This is why you need a man's ministry. Big you can't time. Assume because him, his wife, and his kids show up on Sunday
that
he's got it together mm-hmm. and he knows what he's doing.
That's right.
You have to understand where he's coming from and does he have the skill set.
Yes.
And you as a man of God should be able to bring the kid's skill out. You can preach it.
Mm-hmm.
You know me. I love men's ministry.
Oh, because yes.
we ain't no women and children in the room. I could tell a brother about himself.
Uh-huh.
And he can cry and then his wife won't talk about him later. But, however... You know, the church, we need to do this. Because we're talking about sanctification. We're talking about shaping and molding men.
That's right.
To be the leaders of the home.
That's right.
To be the leaders of the community. To be the leaders of the church.
That's right.
Because the Bible says if a man can't lead his home,
he can't lead the church.
He can't do anything.
Anything else. That's right.
He's not worthy to do anything.
That's right.
If a man is with five of his family, he's worse than an infidel.
And what about those men? Well, here's something you just touched on real quick. I have to go here real briefly.
Okay.
Those men who are fathers that are not with the moms. See,
whoa,
see,
wait.
See,
these are Christian
brothers out here.
Okay,
now.
Wait a minute. We on lust.
Right.
The fact that he's not with his mom, they're not with the child's mother, that's a lust issue.
This is true.
That's an issue of lust, that he cares more about himself than the woman that he got pregnant and the child that he made.
Amen.
It's still a lust issue.
It is a lust issue.
And that has to be healed and resolved also.
Exactly.
Because there ain't no way. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine, dude. He cannot, you cannot use that as an excuse because you're not in the home. I want to be clear with that one, too. Because of your own personal lust, you know, I feel like the way she talked to me, you know. And this is something that really bothers me with us brothers, but we do. Man, you
hold on, wait a minute, bro. Don't put me in that category.
Well, here's what
them me. Brothers that you know,
okay,
who ain't doing it right. Because I don't want to be tied up with them brothers because, you know, I'm saved now.
Amen. What we tend to do is, I hear too many of us say this. Man, I don't like the way she talked to me. I don't like the way she come back at me. Man, she don't respect me. Man, you know, she always got to me. That's why I'm not with her today because, you know, she always yap, always does something. I'd rather leave her and not be with her. I just deal with the kids. You know what? Again, I would say this. One thing about a woman is like a vine. When you find a vine, when a vine is planted into the ground, it begin to grow. One thing about a vine, what does it do? It clings. She's going to cling to that thing. But what she's clinging to is that thing that's strong enough to hold her up. That thing, the reason why the vine will grow as long as it's attached to something that's strong and upright. If you find a vine that's dried up and that's falling aside, it's because whatever she's clinging to is weak. Or maybe she has nothing to cling to. So if you're not something strong enough for her to want to cling to you or want to respect you, you need to check yourself. And stop thinking because, well, that's the reason I'm not there. Well, you still have to deal with that child. Just because you might not be in that home with you and a young lady don't mean you have an excuse not to bring that child up right. Spend as much time with that child as possible. Maybe God will restore a relationship. And if he doesn't restore a relationship with you and the mother, you still don't have an out. You're still supposed to bring that child up. Spend as much time. And don't say, oh, if I give her money, she might blow it. Well, she got to blow the money to me anyway. So you have to, and if you have never paid for Pampers, for fathers who grew up with their children, Pampers, you buy 1,000 of them, 3 days later, they're gone. So stop thinking because you gave her a bag of Pampers 2 weeks ago, they're going to still be there. You have to understand those things cost money. You have to understand formula costs money. And even after that, books cost money. Pants cost money. Grow out of pants this long. So stop thinking I bought a pair of pants for him 2 months ago. And she want more pants? Yes, because they need them. And if you don't give the money to that child, worrying about how she's going to spend it and spend time talking to that child, you're again in your own lust. You're caring about yourself. And I'm going to give this real quick. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. It says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in lust. Because that is lust when you decide to do what you want to do because it makes you feel like a man because you're your final judge. I'm my final, and I'm saying I'm a man. Well, if you want to know how much of a man you are, ask the woman in your life. Ask the women in your life how much of a man you are. And they'll tell you how much of a man you are. Ask the children in your life how much of a man you are. And they'll tell you. Ready for this? If you really want to be a man, ask them the man in your life how much of a man you are. And let them tell you, because the Bible goes on and says, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. It is sinful when you present your body in a manner that you're not going to teach your children what's right. But present yourself to God as being alive from dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Do the right thing by your children, by the women, the women in your life, if you have five mamas, baby's mamas. Do right. Stop making a fifth, a seventh one.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Pastor Maurice Conwell.
Amen.
And he just gave you a word to straighten you out. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This has been Israel Christian Men's Talk. Join us again next week. If you have any questions, comments, or you want to come down here and talk to the pastor, maybe he can help you out through your situation. You can give us a call at 443-591-3504 or email us at rejoicetv@gmail.com. We God bless you. We'll thank you, and we'll see you again next week.